B-Pod Studios.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. Happy Monday. The weekend is over.
Wait, happy Monday?
But I'm gonna wish everybody a happy Monday, because you know what? This is one day closer to payday, my dude.
That's true.
One day closer to payday, my baby.
One day closer to Cyberpunk Day.
That's right. That's right. We are T-minus, what, 18 days or something like that?
No, 30 days. Today's the 19th.
Oh, it's 30 days to the day?
1 month away.
Oh, yeah. 1 month exactly.
That's exciting.
To the day.
We could literally start counting down.
Until everybody, have you seen the memes of like me and my friends after we get through the Cyberpunk character editor, and it's just like people with like massive penises?
Oh, you just wait. You just wait.
Listen, it's going to be ridiculous. But I am here with Chad Callahan. Chad, freshly off of a complete betrayal.
Oh, are you kidding?
In Among Us.
Oh, you had such the meltdown.
I have
never seen a meltdown like that before.
You lost it.
The best part, though, was, and if anybody, you know, heads over to our website, I'm going to make sure they're up there for them to see.
Absolutely.
Check1xp.com. But there's a point where, like, the voting in Among Us ends, and then Rick immediately hit the emergency thing, and he was like, no, that's too much, Chad. Like, what you're doing, this is too much. We need to vote him out. And, like, Chad lost it.
Which I wasn't the imposter, by the way. I'm going to put that out there.
It was Rick.
And it was Rick. And Rick's sitting there. Ooh, I'm okay. Just look for it on check1xp.com. It'll be up there today.
He can't even process.
I can't because.
Ooh.
He can't. Mm. But also joining us in the studio, our good friend, as always, Robbie Landis. Robbie, this is like the most shows we've done together in like
in
10
a while.
Months.
Yeah. I feel like you miss me. You've been trying to find, trying
I miss
to find
Robbie.
More reasons for me to
listen,
be
listen, because Robbie is the only person who his ego is not as big as mine, but he can fake it good enough. And I think that's hilarious.
That's fair.
All right. But with that said, guys, we hope everybody had a great weekend, but we have to let you know what is going on in the world of gaming.
All right. Well, first up, we're going to talk about how Tyler One is just announced to join T1 Esports.
So this decision won't haunt you forever.
So Tyler One of League of Legends fame, well-renowned streamer and gaming personality in the world of League of Legends.
Yep.
Also renowned for being incredibly toxic.
Like toxic to the point where Riot banned him.
Not just from the game.
But from like, Riot.
From life. He was like banned from Riot.
He was
Riot.
The only one to receive a lifetime ban.
Yeah. Lifetime.
Which, though, in the past few years, has been overturned. He's reformed. Now he's being toxic under the guise
under the radar?
Of... under the guise of getting views and money for Riot.
So they're okay with toxicity if it brings them money.
Was he not at, a few years ago, when they held the summer split here in Detroit?
He was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So this doesn't honestly surprise me at all. I assume he's not a player. He's like a content
he's a streamer
creator.
A streamer,
or something.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Honestly.
No, I think, you know, it's funny because, you know, we talk about toxicity, right? And I think also over the past few years, what has been deemed toxic for back then is just not that bad anymore. And
maybe.
That's sad. But I feel like
people
Tyler
consider
One.
It just like normal operating
well,
procedure.
Well, he's still like known as one of the most toxic streamers. Still, like if anyone says most toxic streamers, they're gonna say Tyler One, guarantee it. However, I mean, I do agree with you. There's probably more toxic players. Like if you look into like the Dead by Daylight streams alone, like there's a ton of toxicity.
See, I think at this point, Tyler One's toxicity isn't any different than the heels that you get on like wrestling, right?
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
doing it for the show at this
yeah.
point.
You're right. It's more for the showmanship. Maybe that's the difference. Maybe it's because we know that this is just a joke.
Yeah.
And less of this, he's actually being toxic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think there's a part of it. And him joining T1, which is short for SK Telecom, T1, the Korean team, also of League of Legends fame, one of the most successful League of Legends teams in the world. They've gone through a massive rebrand. They're now just T1. And, you know, they got a new logo and all that stuff.
Cool.
But I think it's interesting to see Tyler 1 join forces with them as opposed to an American
brand. I'll give you that. I find that a little weird.
You know what? It's the dumbest reason. I know what it is. Because they both share T1.
I'm sure.
It's a stupid...
T1 at T1.
That could, was literally what it was.
It could also be maybe they're trying to start to brand into North America.
That's
now.
True, too.
There you go. Ding, 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 ding. That's the answer. Because SK Telecom T1, if I said those words to a random person on the side of the street, they have no clue what I'm talking about. Even in the world of esports, if I said, oh, yeah, SK Telecom T1, if they're not a League of Legends person... Right. That name, that team has no meaning to them. But if I say Cloud9, Team Liquid, 100 Thieves, at this point, these are brands that are well known in North America esports. But I agree with you, Robbie. This is T1's move in order to get more well known in North America.
Because they're also.
I just blow your mind?
I did.
Oh, nice. They're also in. Going into Valorant too, so it's
absolutely.
Like it's kind of like they are trying their North American market a little bit more. I really think they are pushing, so this is fits that bill.
Yeah, actually. I'll be interested to see what the streams are like, to see if it's been toned down a little bit or if it's more positive. I mean, compared to where he was a few years ago, it is slightly more positive, to the point to where like it's almost just. Fun toxicity, you know what I mean? He's more of a clown
playful
now. Yeah, he's more of a clown now than, you know, an agent of evil. But
well, anyways, moving on. I'm glad to have Robbie on this because I really want to hear his opinion. But GameRant.com posted about a rumor that Overwatch 2, the release window, has been leaked for February of 2021.
Mm.
Thoughts? Do you think that's true?
Well, here's the thing. BlizzCon Line is going to be in February, which is, you know, they weren't able to have BlizzCon in person this November. It was canceled a while ago.
Which sucks.
But here's the thing. This was like the perfect excuse for them because they have not been having very good BlizzCons, like as far as public perception goes.
Yeah, the last
two
were not great.
Yeah, the last one after the Hong Kong thing.
Right.
Well, and the one before that was the Diablo. Oh,
yeah, the Diablo.
One.
Now, here's the thing. They don't have anything World of Warcraft to help them because they're just about to release a major expansion in Shadowlands beforehand, right?
Mm-hmm.
So unless they have big Diablo 4 news, they'll probably have a Hearthstone expansion.
Of course.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But your two big franchises at this point is Diablo and Overwatch.
Yep.
So you don't have any sort of BlizzCon thing. Like don't even risk it unless you have something big.
Well, they have said that they will be ending support for StarCraft 2. So that leads me to believe that there is something about a StarCraft 3 that may be coming.
Mm.
I think that would be amazing. I haven't played StarCraft
in
ages.
I think that's
ages.
The least likely. What I do think is most likely, I don't think that February, I don't think they're going to come out and be like, hey, Overwatch 2 is out now.
No, the beta.
Yeah, that's what they expect
beta
is the beta.
And a release window, maybe. But if they do that, Blizzard... Listen to me. Listen to me, all right? Why you haven't done it already is beyond me, but when Overwatch 2 comes out, so help me God, if you don't make Overwatch free to play, I don't know what the hell
you're doing. Therein lies the rub, right? Because it's not like Overwatch 1 will not exist anymore.
Right.
They will share the same servers, the same stuff. The only thing is Overwatch 2 updates your UI. You can get the single player and the story mode, and there'll be some other gameplay tweaks and stuff like that. If you're going to have it live on the same ecosystem, there is no reason why Overwatch should still cost any amount of money.
Yes, use it to funnel people into Overwatch 2.
Exactly. Because if you would have told me at launch that Overwatch was free to play, but I got to pay $40 to access the story,
right?
I would have did it.
Hey, Norris, name me another tier 1 esport that isn't free to play.
None of them.
Rainbow Six. Oh, wait, that's not tier 1.
Yeah, exactly. None of them. None of them. The FGC. Oh, wait. Exactly. None of them. You look at Fortnite. You look at, League of Legends. You look at Dota.
PUBG.
You look at
PUBG.
Yeah, it's not doing great. But
Rocket League now, though, too.
Rocket League.
Hold on. And Rocket League is pulling down 30,000 viewers for 2 days a week for college.
Yeah. I mean, so that it's just going to show your point. You're not too far off base.
So if Overwatch is really trying to, you know, make a foray into truly being a top-tier esport, one of the top three esports in the world, they're going to have to make it free-to-play,
well,
period.
Can I ask you this? Why wouldn't Overwatch 2 be released free? Why shouldn't it?
No, you know what? Sure.
If that's the case,
if you have proper monetization in your game, yes, make both of them free for all I care.
They're not.
I'm sure they won't, but it makes no sense not to.
They're going to make you pay for the story, which I understand.
That's fine because it's not part of the competitive
part. Yes, which I understand, and I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think also you make... I think the better move is to make Overwatch 1 free to funnel people into the ecosystem. And then if you want, like, the updated stuff with the new character models, the new skins, and the this and the this and the that,
yeah.
You buy Overwatch 2. Which essentially makes it a free-to-play MMO, right? You have to access the server. There it is. It's free. But if you want to, you know, get expansions and this and this and this, you may have to pay some money. I don't mind that. I think that's pretty smart. I think it makes it a monetization model that people are more comfortable with.
Right.
And on top of that, I think it replenishes a game that people are leaving, unfortunately.
Do you think this will bring people back, though?
Yeah.
I think it would.
I do.
See, but here's the thing. I don't think that people are leaving in droves to say...
No, not in droves.
Like the way that people on social media...
Overwatch, right. OW, dead game.
Right. However, I do think that if we were to see the numbers, that the growth of Overwatch is nowhere near as high as it could be in relation to other free-to-play
however,
games.
I did see that the grand finals, like, viewership went up
absolutely.
This year.
I mean,
To be fair,
the vast majority of it came from China. And you had, you
still
know,
viewership.
Viewership is viewership. I'm just saying that's going to be the argument against it, is that if you have 1.3 million people watching and 1 million of them all come from China, you know, I think certain investors and certain people who are betting on Overwatch League to work,
yeah,
that is a little concerning to them.
That's fair. And last up, this is actually kind of exciting. The PSN has decided to bring a Black Lives Matter background for everybody, which is really it's a theme, and I feel like people are going to Twitter without any real knowledge of what's going on in it, mm-hmm. and they're just immediately saying no.
Yeah. All right. Here's how I feel about that. All right. In and of itself, do I think it is this terrible, bad idea? No. I don't think it's that bad. I don't think it's something that is the end of the world. I do, however, feel like it is the bare minimum. Well, first of all, it's like, what, 5 months after everything is really popped off?
Why now?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I like it because it continues the conversation, makes people want to continue to think about
it. That's fair.
But I also feel like, okay, Sony, we know that you are one of the biggest gaming companies in the world, biggest entertainment industry companies in the world. Everybody else, whether it be EA or Epic or Blizzard or whoever, everybody has come out and made some sort of statement or some sort of overture to say how they will be committing themselves to diversity in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's a platitude or, in some cases, straight up giving money to charities. That's fine. I feel like, Sony, you had an opportunity here, and you put out a theme. That, to me, is much more of an insult than just not doing anything.
Well, because no one brought it up.
Right.
No one asked Sony, like, hey, why didn't you do something? Because first off, they're not an American brand, and as much as this is a national thing, mm-hmm. let's be honest, there's not a ton of black people in Japan.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for them not to really put their foot down about
something.
Well,
and back at the end of May, too, you know, when all the riots and everything was going on and everyone was making the statements.
Protests.
Right. Yeah, protests. They did also put out on Twitter, you know, a three-part Black Lives Matter and basically saying, you know, we're committed to also helping to spread information, support, all that kinds of stuff. And you're right. Now to see that their support is
a theme
that
it's frustrating.
And it's a static theme. It's just an
it's
image.
It's not even a premium theme.
No, it's a static theme. It's free, which is great. I guess that's the greatest part about it. But Yeah.
It's not even, dog, you couldn't even give me a freemium. You couldn't even give me a freemium theme.
Nope.
Like, that's how I feel. Like, dog, how ill would it have been to give me a freemium theme with, like, images of, like, people protesting?
Or, and, like,
you know, they could have at least even gave me the little BS Martin Luther King, like, in the background, like, faded image. Like, it's so half-assed.
I feel like the problem with a lot of these kinds of things is it focuses... And it's not necessarily a bad thing. I want to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
It focuses on the idea and not about the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's an issue.
I agree.
Okay, because I would have much rather seen people, not an image of like a fist.
No, and that's one of the main problems that I think companies and brands have had with Black Lives Matter and diversity in video games to begin with, is that everybody loves to put a fist on stuff or do blackout day or throw a rainbow flag on their logos and shit, you know, for a couple months.
Right.
But, you know, have you gone out of your way to have black representation in your company? Have you highlighted black voices in your games?
Right.
Have you? I mean, and I'm not saying these are hypotheticals. I'm not accusing them.
Yeah, I mean, it's only been 6 months. You know, this is going to take a longer time than just 6 months.
Right. But I mean, this is an overall question.
Right.
And so when I think of stuff like this, you know, perfect example, Sony, you're a big game, you're a huge game publisher. How many black developers have you given opportunities to?
Right.
That's the larger thing. If you
and at a moment in the industry when all eyes are on you for the launch of the next generation.
I was thinking when I saw this for the first time, I was like, this is actually a power move. If they make this really exciting and make this big statement,
it could have been a power move.
I had to find this. Like, Norris is the one that brought this to my attention. Number one, I had to find this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, come on now.
And the biggest thing is, Robbie, to both of you guys' points, if you'd have said, you know, here's a Black Lives Matter theme, and in the PSN store, we will feature creators, black games.
That would have been,
That, you know, either have not been put out, or here's indie titles from black game developers or whatever. Because I guarantee you they'll probably, somebody, whether it be Epic or Steam or whatever, would do that on February, and I hate it. Because everything black gets relegated to February.
And that's the month you get, and the 28 days.
And it's the shortest month of the year. But, you know, I feel like if they would have did that, if, like, here's this free theme, also, by the way, in PSN, will be running featured black game developers.
Right.
That would have been such a cool power move, and I would have been so excited about that.
Yeah.
But no, it's just a theme, just another empty platitude.
Just
to
an
say,
image.
Hey, yeah, I guess Black Lives Matter. That's the, and it's the lowest common denominator, too. Like, Black Lives Matter, like, okay, no shit. Anyway, so we are going to come right back with more Checkpoint Daily. Chad, what are we talking about after the break?
Well, we are going to talk about how 2K likes to bring ads back.
Oh, God.
You know what? And they might be political.
Oh, God. That and more coming up when we get back for Checkpoint Daily.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Step into the secret lair of the great Landis and Professor Awesome on The Other Identity. Join in on the adventure of a lifetime as Robbie Landis and Marvel alumni Ben Morris team up to bring you the best and worst comic book opinions. From ranking the best live-action Batman to bringing you the essentials on heroes like Spider-Man, discover a whole new world of superheroes and comics on The Other Identity. You can download at CheckpointXP.com or from Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is that you find your podcasts.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Video game news all day, every day, Monday through Friday, and Saturday and Sunday. You get video game news. Norris Howard here alongside Chad Callahan and Robbie Landis joining us in place of Callie Sloan because Callie decided to stay at home. I'm mad because it's Monday. We started to start the week off right, but
that's
you know
true.
What? No, I'm
this
putting
only
it,
week. This is only week three.
I'm putting it out there. We got an improvement.
Ooh.
Anyway. So,
shots fired.
Anyway, you know, there is a big game out, NBA 2K, that they already have made a habit of running really cool videos while you wait for the game to load. Usually stuff that's like, here's what's happening in the NBA. Here's an interview with a player.
Right.
Really cool sort of multimedia interactive stuff that makes you feel like you are fully immersed in the culture of basketball.
Right.
Which is what I think normally that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
However, that space has now been taken up by ads.
Yeah, and apparently just started this weekend on 2K21. So.
And not only is it ads, these ads are unskippable. You must watch these ads. And on top of that, some of them are political, I hear.
Yeah, these are all reported through people. So, like, Reddit's just filled with furious people about these political ads, which I get. I mean,
this is NBA 2K.
Yeah,
is that EA?
No, that's 2K Games.
2K Games. It's not a good look.
I don't know.
It's not a good look, especially considering that they were one of the first companies to say, "Hey, in the new generation, we're upping the price of games."
Yep.
But also selling ads inside of our games.
No, it's super scummy. And here's the thing. We work in radio, and let's just be frank here. Political ads have kept the whole industry afloat.
That's fair. That's
post-COVID. So I'm not hating on political ads per se. It is a presidential election year. But I'm not hating on them per se because it's part of our process, unfortunately. But it is what it is. And I am not one for the keep politics out of my video games. However, the concept of putting a political ad in a video game rubs me the wrong way so much I cannot stand it.
Well, because there's no art to this.
Right.
You know, when people say keep politics out of my video games, they're talking about, like, you know, undertones. They're talking about messages.
Yeah.
They're talking about the stories that drive our everyday life. You know, when someone pops up and says, vote for me,
That is a little weird.
No one wants to be bashed over the head with it. Now, I know people say that about the normal politics in games. No one's bashing over the head with anything. This is literally a blunt instrument to your face.
Can I ask you this, though? When Biden did this, the ad with Animal Crossing, where he added all those like signs and stuff.
Totally different.
How?
It's totally different because that is still trying to... It's still meeting the player halfway with some form of immersion, right?
I guess you have to go and grab it.
Forcing it into your
it's
game.
It's not forcing.
You're making the choice.
If you don't want to see the sign or have the sign, you don't have to.
You don't use it.
Right? But even with that, the whole concept of Animal Crossing, and this is your island, and you build it however you want, and if you want to put out a lawn sign... Essentially, what it is
for either party.
They only did it for Biden.
No, but I'm just saying.
Anybody could have made their own.
You're right.
For whatever your political affiliations is, you have that right because that's your island. And if you know they allow it in the game because they have user generated content, then fine, go ahead and do it, dude. 2K has had you have the you know, when you watch a basketball game and they have the ads on the scorer's table, sort of at in the middle of the court. They have custom ads of those, so you can pick stuff.
It's like actual ads, like people put in? Oh,
yeah, well, people like have vectored like Pringles logos.
That's clever.
And other stuff. People have also put a lot of porn on it, but it is what it is. But the thing is that is still a more immersive thing. That is still a more authentic
sense.
And to the experience, and it makes sense, as with Animal Crossing. For this... An unskippable ad on a video while I'm waiting for my game to load and I can't make any decisions on if I want to see this or not.
Right.
I can't even change the channel. At the very least, when you say, I don't want to see political ads, you can flip the channel.
Turn it off.
I can't flip the channel as my game loads. There's nothing I can do.
I do feel like that puts you in a different mindset, too. When you're in game mode and you see a political ad, whether you agree with it or not, you now have a different mindset now going into the game that you're about to play. You're thinking about other things.
Our escapism fantasy isn't escaping anything.
Exactly. You lose that. You lose that momentum.
Well, and on top of that, and I'm going to be honest with you, I can see this raising toxicity in the game.
Are you kidding?
Not just for attitudes towards the game, but player against player. Because if you're sitting there getting inundated with a political message right before you go play this guy whose name is Trump Thumper 99, and, you know, you're just some regular person, and now he done seen the Trump ad. I'm not saying that there are Trump ads.
Yeah, I don't know what's
But I'm saying he done seen the Trump ad, and he starts, you know, throwing out the talking points because now you've been reminded and turned up, and the subliminal messaging is completely taking root at the base of his spine and is completely governing everything that he's about to say in this match. Yeah, I can see why that would be frustrating. I can see why that would be something that players do not want.
Yeah,
I think that players have a right to be upset about it. I think players have, and I know that sounds very, you know, not how I usually talk about politics, because I'm the person that's like, well, life is politics and you can't escape politics, yeah, and you shouldn't be able to escape it. But at the same time,
this seems aggressive.
This not only does it seem aggressive, it seems, as Robbie said, to just be so cumbersome, and it has no nuance to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it's
whack. Imagine jumping out of the shower and you're in front of the mirror getting ready to do your hair and an ad pops up on your mirror.
Just wait till that happens.
First of all, you think that ain't coming?
Yeah, I feel like
that's what
happening.
This is. They're just trying to throw it into wherever they can to make a buck.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Don't like it.
You know what they could have easily did and nobody would have said anything about this? Is if they would have made, like, Biden Harris, like, uniforms. Like,
you know,
jerseys.
What? You're right. Or vice versa.
Yeah. If they would have just made Trump or Biden uniforms.
I mean, I'm sure it would have got some backlash, but not nearly as much as this.
Because if I don't want to wear that uniform, I don't have to.
Yeah, but right? I mean, people still get mad that things are in stuff anyways, regardless of
party. Well, on that point, get over it.
I mean, that, yeah, who cares?
On that point, get over it. When you have a choice, get over it. But that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. We want to thank Robbie for once again coming in as a ringer and covering up for our weak point known as Callie Sloan. And also, we want to thank Chad Callahan for giving us the news. And we want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in to Checkpoint Daily. For Robbie Landis and Chad Callahan, and I guess Callie Sloan, that's enough for today. We'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.